I'm going to start. So basically today I'm carrying on the series we've been looking at, which is about love in 1 Corinthians 13. And we are on verse 6, and I'm looking at love is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. So it's really about not being easily offended and pretty much learning to forgive and let go of offenses. Okay. Now let me start by a disclaimer. This is where I discover if my clicker works or not. Yes, let me start by a disclaimer. Not all anger is bad. Okay? It's probably why it says love is not easily angered. It doesn't mean you cannot be angry. Okay? But I think there's good anger and there's bad anger. Will you agree? So, not all anger is bad. It really depends of what has provoked the emotion and how we manage the emotions.
Hallelujah.
Okay? I do think there is such a thing as righteous anger. And we know because Jesus was pretty mad when he came into the temple and he saw that instead of worshipping, people were selling stuff. And, I mean, he got mad. It moved tables.
That's right.
Imagine a scene. That was righteous anger. Okay? There are issues for which it's right to be angry. And we, as Christians, we are called to live in the gap. Okay? So we mustn't take this verse to say, oh no, we just sit on in our hand and do nothing. I think it's right sometimes to get mad at some stuff. For example, personally, I'm absolutely mad when I see people who are suffering, falling into addictions, because I know addiction is something that numbs suffering. I'm mad at that. I'm thinking, wow, the devil's strategy is so annoying, and I want their freedom. I want them to find Jesus. I'm mad about that. I'm mad that people suffer so much on this earth. We were not meant to suffer like that. You see? I'm mad at social injustice when I hear that people don't get promotion because of their race, their gender, their class, and it's not fair in society. I get mad at that, okay? Because on my heart, I know Jesus has put a lot of things about social justice. So every time I can take a stand on that, I will, you know? So I don't think every anger is wrong. Even think about it, sometimes negative things happen to us. Actually, sometimes it's pretty normal and healthy to react frustrated and angry to certain thing. It's important that something is, you know, you acknowledge something is happening to you. If you bottle up negative feelings, you're building a tornado, a volcano inside, okay? So no point to look around, no point to walk around and say, oh, I'm going to be a really good Christian. I'm not easily offended. But inside you're like, and it's destroying you bit by bit, and you might fall ill, or, you know what I mean? Actually, counselors will tell you that the clearest indicator that your anger is healthy is if it leaves you feeling okay about yourself and okay about others.
Beautiful.
So if, I don't know, if something happened to my car and I go, okay, I'm okay now, you know. That's pretty all right. I'll just express something and I moved on. That's healthy, okay? So what we need to do, though, is in these two cases of, say, righteousness anger and emotional anger, we need to make sure that it doesn't transform into bitterness and unforgiveness. That's where the issue is, okay? So the verse says, love is not easily angered and it keeps a record of no wrong. In this passage, it's about love teaching us to react differently when someone is doing us wrong, when we are faced with hurt, when we are faced with injustice, when we are faced with a bad word, when we are faced with the imperfections of others. Okay? It's about not being easily offended and learn to not react too quickly or hurry to conclusion about a person. Or we learn to forgive and we learn to let go of the offense that has been meant to us. Wow. It's not easy, right? It's not easy. And what I would like to say is, if we are honest, the closer we are to someone, the closer you are to someone, the more potential you have to be hurt. Do you realize that? And it's true in the church. We get close, we walk together. That's what church would be. We should support each other, help each other. The more you are doing church in the right way, the more there would be potential to be hurt. Scoop for you. Scoop Amen. For you. The church is messy. Okay? Because we're all dealing with our imperfection. We are getting transformed, but we're not perfect. And we sometimes don't do the right thing. Now, so when we love others, when we open ourselves to the possibility of being hurt, that's what happened. We love others and we open ourselves to the possibility to be hurt. That's what will happen. Okay? Now, I do think that's why the chapter 13 has been written. It's because we need to hear love is kind, love is patient, love is... Okay? Love is as well not getting easily angry and keeps a record of no wrong. Now, I think you can't say you really love if you're not prepared to open up and be your vulnerable self.
That's right.
It's very important. You can't say as well that you truly love if you don't have the stories of authentically walking with brothers and sisters and working it out when things go wrong. Because what kind of love is that? It's love without any actions. So, don't be fooled. Don't be a fool like this picture that I found, like an hermit at the top of his mountain. Don't be like that. Say, oh, look at me. I love you guys below. You down there, very far away. I love you guys. Okay? But really what he's saying is I'm staying up here because I will never be hurt up here. There are people like that, yes? Oh, no, of course I love everyone. Don't get too close. I love everyone. Don't get too close. I am the holiest person on earth. Nothing offends me. I keep records of no wrong. In fact, I have no records. That's the thing. I have no records because I'm not close to anyone. You know? There is a danger there that we could self-proclaim ourselves to be absolutely, you know, loving. But actually what we're saying is we've not opened up ourselves to others. We have not made ourselves authentic and vulnerable. And we're not rubbing shoulder really with people. We don't let them in. Because I can guarantee, if you do that right, you will get treasure, but you will sometimes get hurt. Okay? Because it will help you for your holiness and your sanctification. Have you noticed family relationship, marriage, oh, that's a big one, marriage, parenting, community is the best means of sanctification ever.
Amen.
Ever. Because if you by yourself in your little box, you could say, I'm really patient. But as soon you're with someone and you have to walk at the same pace, then you would, you know, you would be confronted to your impatience. Yes? Now, Jamie, our first year of marriage, it was an interesting year, was it? Was it? Yeah. Notice I did the British thing. It was interesting, right? I mean, what I mean is it was pretty challenging. That's the French way. It was really challenging and not all good, okay? Because we got two cultures, two family stories, two personality, two genders who came in under one roof, okay? Yeah, it was challenging. But sanctification, you know, you have to learn, you know.
That's it.
Now, my parents, they live close to the beach. And what I've noticed when I go to the beach is, have you noticed how smooth the stone are? And even sometimes there's glass, and even the glass gets all polished and beautiful and smooth. Listen, if you wear a stone, okay, this is what happens when you rub against each other.
Beautiful.
In the tide, okay? You get polished, you know? So yeah, there, keep your culture, your different culture, your lifestyle, your personality, all of that is gonna be different. But guess what? There's gonna be this process, slightly uncomfortable. Sometimes it hurts a little. But what it does is you lose your spikes, okay? You lose your spikes. And you get more and more beautiful like Jesus, and you get more and more shiny and purposeful, and together we live harmoniously bringing the gospel and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Okay? So it's okay. You rupture and say, oh, what do you mean? Oh, why are you doing this like this and not like this? Oh, what are your expectations there? Because I don't quite get it. It's okay to ask all this question. But we want to ask this question. How can I not be easily angered? In other word and other translation use the word, how can I learn to not be irritable or resentful when something goes wrong? How can I learn to do that? So I'm just trying to put a couple of pointers together. My big one, and this is what I've learned from my mom and dad, and it's very precious to me. Overlook offenses as much as possible. It's a big one.
Amen.
Overlook them. Ignore all the small things. All the things who don't matter that much. You know? So for example, if somebody is a little sharp with you because they were tired and they had this word, just ignore it. Just ignore them. You see, it's not a big deal, okay? If you go in the street and you wave to someone and they look like they ignored you, don't get offended for that. It's not all about you. Maybe they were, you know, miles away. Maybe they just didn't see you. You ignore all the small things, all the small stuff. That's what we do in couples, right? In marriage, you ignore the small thing. You say, of course, this person loves me, I love them. Sometimes we do funny thing. Well, just ignore it. It's a small thing. You ignore it, okay? And if you do a thing and somebody reacts to a small thing, be proactive and try to clear the misunderstanding straight away. Ask question. Do not accuse them. Just humbly seek clarification. You know, Brené Brown often say, clear is kind. Okay? So if you've done something and you see a face, and say, oh, sorry, have I done something wrong? Is that okay for you? Clarify. Say, is that okay for you? Because when I do that, I mean this. All the small stuff, it doesn't matter. Just get it done. Okay? We can all do that. Now, what happens when the offense is big? Okay? Now, it says to not entertain anger and bitterness in our heart. And actually, the Bible is very clear what happens when the offense is big. So I'm talking about brother or sister, I've sinned against you. And they clearly done something wrong. Matthew 18:15 is telling us to do very clearly. You go with love and you confront that person with love and you speak to them, okay, in the objective to win them. Okay, it's very clear. And if they don't see the situation, then you go and take a witness with you. And there's a long procedure in the church on how to do that. What I would like to say is, first of all, the way people read this verse sometimes is very weird. See? So it says, if your brother sins against you, go and confront him alone. Gary, the other day, you have done this. I mean, have you not seen brothers and sisters do that? It's totally wrong. It is not what it says. It's not confronting in that way. Confronting as I'm coming face to face, eye to eye, because I want to deal with the problem, but it says in order to win them. I'm not sure I'm going to win Gary if I go in his face and go, Gary. No, I'd say, Gary, what about last time? What about, yeah? So in order to win them, so you need to take a low profile to win someone. You can't go. And in the same for the whole procedure in the church, it's not an escalation of, we are now going to come with the hammer. I'm bringing a brother, and now I'm bringing the elders, and we're going to get you. You've done something to me. It's so unbearable. No, it's in order to win them. And you could see that because he learned by, you know, and if it doesn't work, start again and do it again. And that's why I love I put there the Message translation, because the Message translation is, it really has the heart of it. It says, if a fellow believer hurt you, go and tell him, work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you made a friend. Okay? And even at the end, if this doesn't work, he said, you have to start from scratch, confronting with his need of God. It's something about it who is actually There's a gentleness about that confrontation, right? Yeah. Because we want to win. Listen, I think the main point here is the relationship is worth more than your grudge. The relationship is worth more than your pride of being right or wrong.
Amen.
Is worth more than you being right and then being wrong, having done something wrong.
Amen.
It's what Jesus has done for us. He laid down his life. So the relationship is more, is worth more than your personal grudge, pride, whatever.
Yeah.
Honestly, I do think in principle, it's always good to apologize for the impact of your behavior on people. This is really profound. Because we're okay with, we're going to apologize because we've done something wrong, right? I'm really sorry when I said that, it was not right. Sorry. We're okay. When we're Christian, usually we're good at that. But actually, I might have impacted someone even when I didn't mean any harm. Or it could be that they've gone away and they heard it wrong, or because of their lives or their trouble or their rejection, they interpreted it wrong. But what I did or what I said still had an impact on them. Okay? Do you know what? It's okay to be humble.
Amen.
It's okay to be humble. I would totally go, I am so sorry that when I did that or when I said that, it made you feel like that way. It was not my intention, but I can see how it created a mess. You see the difference?
Yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, I'm wrong, I've sinned. No, but I'm recognizing
Amen.
That I've done something and my brother maybe has a weakness or my brother has not understood it. And it created a mess. So I'm humbly coming, trying to seek the relationship before my rights. Okay? Or if they hurt you, it goes in the other way, if they hurt you, it's okay to go. I said, you know, the other day when you did that and when you said that, it made me feel like this. So have you noticed I'm not coming and accusing the person? I say, it made me feel. That was the impact. So we learn to forgive.
Amen.
We learn to forgive.
Amen.
And forgiveness is about your own freedom.
Amen.
And your ability of letting go of the offense. How? How can we get good at forgiving? How can we get good at overlooking offense? Do you know what? I think it is by having more of God in us and understanding the immense, immense grace of God for ourselves. Okay? When you think about the Father, and in Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And he has been for us and he continues to us. When Hebrews 8, verse 12 says, God forgives our iniquity and remembers our sin no more. When we bask in this love and this grace, we're thinking, wow, I mean, we have no other choice than to start loving him, loving ourselves and loving our neighbors like ourselves and loving our brothers and sisters, right? So we start to do what he's taught us to do. We don't want to do like, you remember the story in Matthew of the unforgiving debtor? In Matthew 18, do you remember that one? You don't want to do that one, you know? Like this guy's got a massive debt. The king is forgiving the debt, and as soon as he's out of the palace, he literally come and grab someone who owe him a little bit of money, and he literally shake him down. You know, that's and there was a consequence for him because what is that? You've been it's like somebody wiped up 5 million of your debt, and somebody owe you £100, and you start to be harsh on them. I mean, well, that's how we are sometimes, because God is so good. Okay, he's so good to us. Let's be gracious to our brothers and sisters. God, he loves you. He loves you, you know. He's not a punisher.
Amen.
He's put the judgments on Jesus.
Pilate.
So you would have a relationship
Amen.
With him.
Amen.
That's why we say love cast out all fear. Like Jamie mentioned this verse. Love cast out all fear, because we don't need to fear, because we're not going to be punished, because Amen. He put the punishment on Jesus for
Hallelujah.
Us.
Hallelujah.
Okay? So we learn to forgive.
Mm.
Now, remember as well that our battle is not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
But against principalities and power.
That's
right. Ephesians 6:12.
That's right.
The enemy loves disunity. He loves it.
That's right.
If someone offends you, I tell you what, someone offends you, the way you react to that offense, there is the enemy behind who's
Amen.
Using that
Amen.
To render you ineffective.
Amen.
Okay? So the way you're going to stew in your frustration,
mm.
that's your reaction. That's
mm.
on you. That's your way you reacted to the
mm-hmm.
offense.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you need to remember. Okay, my brothers and sisters, they're not perfect. Sometimes they will do me wrong. But actually, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against principality, because behind, it's the enemy will use that to paralyze you,
mm-hmm.
to entangle you in bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't be free.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to have purposeful life
right.
and destiny in God.
That's right.
Listen, don't be afraid of the enemy, because he cannot arm you.
No.
That's right.
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes. But be afraid and concerned with your unforgiveness.
Amen.
Because it says that unforgiveness will give a foothold to the enemy.
Amen.
Can you see the difference?
Amen.
Sometimes we spend our time to go, yeah, the devil that, I cast you out, blah, 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 blah. All is outside. But we don't deal with what's inside.
That's right.
I would suggest that the access of the enemy
Amen.
Is because of you giving access to the enemy.
Mm.
He cannot harm you. We're protected. Jesus has done it at the cross.
That's
he
right.
doesn't have any power over us. So don't be afraid
Beautiful.
Of the enemy and the evil schemes.
Beautiful.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
But it clearly says, it's not me saying it, in Ephesians 4:25-27, it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger, because if you do that, you give a foothold to the enemy.
Mm.
A foothold is like, is literally, you open the door a little bit and the enemy went, put his feet. So he's nice again, yeah, there's a little crack. Here's a little bit more frustration. Here's a bit more bitterness. And that's it, he's got you entangled. And that can grow.
That's right.
Can you see?
Amen.
Wow. That's what learning to forgive quick.
Beautiful.
It's really important.
Beautiful.
With love, there is forgiveness. And
that's
with love, there is, we don't keep records of wrong.
That's right.
You know, like we often say, God has wiped our slates clean.
Mm.
Okay? I mean, he chose to remember no more. I mean, God has got pretty good memory. He knows what you've done wrong.
Mm.
But he chose
Beautiful.
To ignore it. He sees the purity
That's right.
of Jesus.
That's right.
So we are asked to do the same. Don't have in your mind like a little notebook. You know, you turn and go, Fiola, she's done this, she's done that. And you keep a record of what happened in the past.
Mm.
In 1992, my brother stole £10 from me.
Mm.
In 95, he did say that. See, how can I have a relationship with this? It's not right.
Mm.
He keeps record of no wrong. It's an attitude. It's an attitude.
Mm.
Now, I put there, keeping a record of keeping no records of any wrong, right? It doesn't mean that you're a doormat.
That's right.
You can still put boundaries. So for example, if somebody I invite somebody in my house and they start stealing from me in my
mm.
house,
mm.
okay, but they come and say, I'm really sorry, I messed up, and they repair. I'm going to forgive and I'm going to keep the record. That means I'm not going to go around and go, guess who did that? Yep. No.
Mm.
I'm just going to give them a chance.
That's right.
But when they're going to come back in my house,
That's right.
I will have a, I'm going to keep an eye on them.
That's right.
And they won't have access to everything.
Beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to learn to trust them again.
Please do.
Yes. It doesn't mean it's cut forever, but I'm putting healthy boundaries.
Amen. Amen.
To protect my family, to protect me, to, you know?
Amen.
So, it doesn't mean we don't match.
No.
But it means that we're giving choice to people. We choose to believe the best.
That's right.
Okay? And we keep a record of no wrong.
That's right.
Now, sometimes it's very difficult because someone might have offended you and you never received an apologies.
Mm.
Okay? And I think, honestly, you just need to pray. But I would say that relationship is worth for you to try to engage in a process of restoration.
Amen.
If you see that a brother or sister is offended with you and that's or they offended you and they never offered apologies,
amen,
and you want a relationship with them, it's okay to go and say, look, is it me? But I'm feeling there's something not quite right there. What can we do? How can we work this one out? Okay. And if there's done something wrong, say, you know, that was not quite right.
Amen.
What are we going to do about it? Okay. I hope this help. I try to do it in a way that it's as well practical and give you real tips. But in conclusion, when I was preparing this, I really felt that God wants to bring freedom to some people this morning. And in my mind, very quickly, I had these three categories of people, and you know, I really felt that God wanted to do something. First of all, I want to pray for those who have been hurt, and maybe as a result of hurt, they literally closed up. They closed up and they put walls up. Okay, they put their walls up. So actually, effectively, they can't have deep relationship with people because they've been hurt. And I felt you are called to, again, love again.
Amen.
With no suspicion and be free in your heart to be yourself.
Amen.
To connect with people.
Mm.
To have this richness of exchange.
Mm.
I feel God is telling you, it's time to take a risk and put those walls down.
Amen.
Put those walls down. Get people to know you a little bit. Get people to know you. Take risks. There's another category of people I felt that God is saying, you know, there are some people who are saying, oh, that's all good, but you know, it's a bit my personality. I've always been a little bit like hothead and I react really quickly. Okay? I would say to you, I say, listen, it's possible you've learned this from your family. Maybe that's how they operate, you know. Or it's possible that somehow you've been hurt and you've been rejected, and that's why you act so you know, defensive and so offended. But I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is good, and the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit fruit is temperance. Okay, so if it's your case that you've learned a behavior and you need to unlearn it, Holy Spirit will help you to develop temperance. Okay, don't take the excuse of my family is like that. No, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about temperance. And if you've been rejected by your family or rejected by someone, and that's the issue, I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your heart from any kind of issue of rejection. And finally, there is this practical issue that, as I've been speaking, I know some of you, there would be the small voice of the Holy Spirit who's already put some names on your heart. Okay, say, this person in my family. This person in my community. This person at work. You know, You know, and I can feel the Holy Spirit prompting it and to encourage you to forgive, and when it's possible, to start a process of reconciliation, but mostly to forgive, start to forgive. Right, so I'm just gonna pray for us, and we're gonna move on because I can see I've used my time. Is that relevant to anyone? If it's relevant for you, I'm not gonna say which one, but please stand up, and we're gonna pray. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit,
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. You are so, so good
Hallelujah.
To us. Thank you that you are your love is slow to anger, full of compassion, full of mercy. Father, I pray for a revelation of your love, most of all. A revelation of your forgiveness, so we would be able to forgive others.
Amen.
I rebuke any spirit of rejection that might have affected people.
Amen.
We say, let there be no more in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But a spirit of adoption,
Amen.
A spirit of adoption in our heart. We pray, Lord, for risk-taking. We pray for a church where people are walking together,
Hallelujah.
Know each other, love each other,
Hallelujah.
Support each other.
Mm.
Lord Jesus, we pray for this amazing privilege to walk in the body of Christ.
Mm.
We say, let there be no more that we are all offended for nothing.
Mm.
Let there be a quickening of our spirit when we see that there's offenses to sort it out. Let there be a culture of clear and kind among us, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. So that whatever our culture, whatever our background, we learn to walk together, to
Beautiful.
Work together, to love you, Jesus, together.
Beautiful.
We say, Holy Spirit, just grab our heart even during this week and turn them to you in
That's
all
right.
this area
That's
that
right.
matters.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus, that you love us.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, that you love us.
Amen.
And we say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.